Our next reading is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter, starting with verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the word of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and their helper, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So if you were here last week, you would have had the great honor it was to have Pastor Teeple with us, sharing God's word with us. You may also remember he now is serving as a missionary over in Germany. And if nothing else, if you at least recall this from his message, that before we can invite others, before we can share the good news with other people, the first thing that we have to do as Christians is repent. We must first repent. And that really was a beautiful preparation for all of our hearts and minds as we are now in the season of Lent, which is a season full of repentance, all about repenting and turning away from our old ways and back to God. So we're going to jump just right into the reading that we read just a moment ago. So recall, Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness. But before that takes place, before Jesus goes into the wilderness to be tempted, there's some important context that we need to be aware of that takes place right before this in chapter 3 of Matthew's gospel. In chapter 3, Jesus comes to John, his cousin, to be baptized. And then after some discussion between the two of them, John eventually does baptize Jesus. And then we're told the heavens opened up, the Spirit of God descended onto Jesus, and then a voice from God the Father declared, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am pleased." So this is the context that's leading us into this next story. Who Jesus is, that's the context. It gives us Jesus' identity. Jesus is God's beloved Son with whom he is well pleased. Then we find out it's actually God's plan all along for Jesus to go into the wilderness and be tempted. Matthew tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit that just had descended on him in his baptism, and he is led by that Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Then we're told, after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, Jesus is hungry, which makes total sense, because Jesus is fully man as well as fully God, so of course he's hungry after 40 days of fasting. But it does seem a bit strange when we're thinking about it that God wanted Jesus to go into the wilderness to be tempted. That was the whole point of him going there. But it makes a little more sense if we recall and think about what Jesus came to do and who he is. Jesus' role, especially in the Gospel of Matthew, is one of substitute. Jesus, we can think of him as Israel reduced to one person. Everything and everywhere that Israel failed, Jesus came to keep and do perfectly. Jesus came to live as Israel was meant to. Jesus is Israel reduced to one person. In fact, we know all throughout the Old Testament, Israel is referred constantly as God's son. And yet, they were blemished and sinful. In Matthew's gospel, we're told that Jesus is God's beloved son. And we know he's without blemish, and he's completely sinless. He is beloved by God. The prophet Isaiah shared God's words where he refers to Israel as this great vineyard that he planted. And upon that planting, God did everything that he could for that vineyard that it would prepare and produce good fruits. And when he goes to find those fruits, he looks for justice, but instead of justice, he finds bloodshed. He goes and he looks for righteousness, but instead all he finds is an outcry from the people. So God destroys this vineyard he once planted, and then he promises that another would come. Recall in John's gospel, Jesus is called the true vine, one who is just and righteous and ultimately will produce the good fruits God was looking for. Jesus came to be everything that God expected of Israel. Jesus came to be all that Israel was unable to be. Recall that Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness to be tested by God. Likewise, Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Jesus is Israel reduced to one person. And as we look at each of these temptations that Satan throws at Jesus, we will see how these are the same temptations that Israel fell to. So the first thing Satan does when he comes to Jesus is tempt him with food. After all, he had just been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, so of course he's hungry, right? Of course. It makes total sense. I'm usually hungry if I go a day without eating, if I can even make it that long. So Satan comes at Jesus' weakest point after this long fast. And what does he say to him? He says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." So Satan, for the sake of the argument, is just assuming that Jesus really is the Son of God. And he knows whoever the Son of God would be, he would have the power to do these things. He would have the power to turn stones into bread. But Jesus knows his identity. Jesus recalls that just 40 days before, God had literally told Jesus who he was, that he was his beloved son, that he was well pleased with him. And what does a beloved son do? Well, a beloved son trusts fully in his father. He trusts that his father will provide for him. Satan wanted Jesus to forget who he was and to instead take matters into his own hands, provide for himself, to have him not rely on God to provide for him. And Jesus very well could have done that exact thing. But Jesus knew his role as Israel reduced to one person. He knew all about how the Israelites acted in the wilderness, how they complained over and over and over and over again, how they complained to God until he finally relented and gave them manna from heaven. And then when they were sick of eating their fill of manna every single day, they started complaining about that. So then what does God do but provide them with quail? And then they eventually get sick of the quail that God has so graciously provided for them. And they start complaining about that too. You see, the Israelites never got it. They never understood why God was testing them in the wilderness. But Jesus, being fully God and fully man, of course, he did know this. And we see that when he directly quotes from Moses' words that he said to the Israelites at the end of their 40 days of wandering. This is what Moses said to them. Moses said, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and he let you hunger. And then he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." And what does Jesus say to Satan after Satan comes and tempts him with trying to get him to turn these stones into bread? Jesus says those exact words to him. "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Jesus got it. Jesus knew exactly what he was supposed to do. Through those 40 years in the wilderness, God wanted the Israelites to rely fully on him. He wanted them to trust in every word that he had spoken to them. Of course, that didn't happen. Jesus did not fail where Israel failed. Jesus, as God's beloved son, trusts that God will provide for him, whether he acts or not. So that leads us now into the second temptation. In this second temptation, Satan leads Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, the very highest point of the temple in Jerusalem. And there he asks Jesus another question. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For God has said, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will lift you up so that your foot does not strike a stone." Here, Satan is wanting Jesus to test God's promises. Satan ultimately is wanting to see whether God's power would really save Jesus if he threw himself off or not. Likewise, the Israelites, while they were wandering around in the wilderness, they tested God to see if he would act and give them water. They wanted to see if they complained to Moses enough, if they would get what they wanted. Jesus once again knew his own role in God's plan. Jesus knew that he was God's beloved son, and he knew that a beloved son would not test his father, but instead would trust fully in his promises. So again, Jesus does exactly what Israel could not do. He tells Satan, Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And Satan, once again, is not getting what he's hoping for from Jesus. So he tries one final time. He takes him up to a very high mountain and shows him all of the kingdoms of the world in all of their glory. And he says, I will give you all of these if you would just bow down and worship me. Satan knew that Jesus, as the Son of God, would worship and serve. But the question is, who? Who would the Son serve? That is the final temptation Jesus is offered with and faced with. Who would the beloved Son of God worship and serve? God or Satan? Again, Jesus knew his role. He knew his identity. He knew how Israel had failed time and again as God's son. Repeatedly, Israel turned away from God and towards these false gods and idols of the nations. In fact, you may recall, they did this almost immediately after God leads them out of Egypt in the Exodus. What do? In response to that? They build a golden calf and start worshiping that instead. Over and over, they make the same mistake. God sends prophet after prophet to get them to try and get it and repent, but they never turn away. So again, Jesus does what Israel cannot do and what Israel never did. He replies to Satan, "Be gone, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit for a very specific reason and purpose. That purpose was to be victorious over Satan and temptation, something neither Israel or you or me could ever have done. Jesus' temptation tells us how he remained perfect. How he remained perfect for each and every one of us. This narrative, which actually happened, does not give us the perfect equation for how to resist temptation on our own. The point of this is not to say, oh, okay, so if we take these certain amount of scriptures and we say this to Satan, then that's how we'll be able to resist temptation from him. That is not the point of this at all. The point is not to show us how to resist temptation, but to show us who resisted temptation on behalf of us. Because Israel failed, we fail because of our sinful nature. Sin that we're all born into on account of what Adam and Eve did at the first fall of man. And something that we can't escape on our own. We can memorize all of the scripture that we want. We can have all of the knowledge and wisdom in the entire world. We can do all of the good things that we can possibly do. And you know what? We will all still fail and fall. Because that's how we'll always be. Until Jesus returns. The only way that we can possibly resist temptation is to repent and cling to Jesus. That is the only way. His victory over Satan in the wilderness, his victory over Satan, sin, and death on the cross is your victory. And it is my victory. You and I have been united to Jesus through our baptisms. His death is our death. His life is our life. His resurrection is our resurrection to come. And we all need to be aware. Because each and every day, Satan is attacking each and every one of us. And you know how he's attacking us? The exact same way that he attacked Jesus. Satan wanted Jesus to doubt his identity as the beloved Son of God. Likewise, he wants each and every one of you to forget your identity and who you are. He wants you to forget that you are indeed a beloved child of God, that you are indeed a brother and sister in Christ. Satan wants you and me to forget our baptisms. He wants you and me to trust in our own ways, our own abilities. He wants us to not look to God as our provider. He wants you and me to take Scripture out of context to benefit our own agendas. He wants you and me to look anywhere but God. And Satan knows once we've done that, he has us trapped. There's nowhere else we can go. But another reminder, there is one and only one thing that you and I can do. We can repent. We can cling to Jesus. We can cling to the Word of God, and we can cling to the cross. We can remember our baptisms. Our baptism is the daily drowning of our old self, the self that was born into original sin, the same sin that Adam and Eve committed at the fall of man. It's the daily drowning of our old selves, and it's the regeneration and renewal of our new selves in the Spirit of Christ. So I invite you, as we continue through this Lenten season, I invite you to repent daily. I invite us all to repent daily, to turn away from our old selves, to cling only to Jesus. I invite you to nourish yourself in His Word. I invite us all to remember our baptisms. So let us repent and cling to the victory over temptation that Jesus has won for each and every one of us.